things we have considered as suffering, Lord, you will open our eyes to see you bigger, better, and brighter than those situations. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, even as you hasten the footsteps of other members of this church, and we ask, O Lord, that you give us the grace as a church to be prompt to do your work and to come to church in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We are looking at a very, very important topic this morning. Christian suffering. And it's a very important topic. It's a very important topic. This is because if we don't have the correct perspective on it, it's something that can mislead us. It's something that can be misinterpreted. It is something that can discourage us. It is something that the enemy can use to take us away from the Lord. So we need to get the correct perspective on it. You know, because the more I read the Bible, the more I realize that there's the suffering aspect of it that goes with our belief and the work of our faith. So this morning, I just believe that God will open our understanding beyond what man can say to us. Because we may say it here. In order for it to become flesh and dwell with us, it takes the Spirit of God to translate it into flesh. And I believe that that is what God will do in our lives in Jesus' name. I also believe that the reason we are talking about it this time around is because God wants to do something in our lives. It's because God wants to use his word, because he does not just send forth his word for nothing. He sent forth his word to do something. And each time he sends his word forth, the word must accomplish his purpose, and it will accomplish his purpose in our lives in Jesus' name. Let's quickly take the memory verse, which is taken from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Hebrews 2, verse 10. Can we go after 3? 1, 2, 3. For it became him for whom all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Can we go again? For Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. I want to believe we are digesting it. The Bible is making us to understand here that there is somebody, and I'm sure we all know who we are talking about, Jesus Christ, for whom are all things. In other words, everything is for him. Everything belongs to him. So in other words, when you talk about in terms of riches, he's rich. And he said, by whom are all things? In other words, if everything is by him, he's the creator of everything. So not only does he own everything, he created them all. But the Bible now says that same person who is the owner of everything and through whom everything was made, the Bible says for him to bring many sons unto glory, something happened to him. that he has to suffer for his perfection. The reason I've emphasized these different aspects is for us to realize that it does not matter who we are, what we are, what we have achieved, what we hope to achieve, that there is a place for perfection in our lives. And the place of perfection is the place of suffering. And many of us will agree with me that some of the best decisions in our lives, some of the major things in our lives, did not happen when they are most convenient for us. They've taken place when we've been under tremendous pressure, under tremendous demand, strain, or suffering, if we like it. So in other words, it's not necessarily a bad thing sometimes when we have to suffer for our faith. Did you prepare something? Okay, so if you want to take over. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you prepare something, you can come on. You can come and do it. I've just talked about the memory verse, so. No problem.
Praise the Lord. Please excuse this morning being late. Okay, so we've gone through the memory verse. And did you look at suffering means, the definition? I think we all know what suffering means because we've all experienced suffering in some ways. This is just helps us to have a quick look. Suffering means to undergo or be subjected to physical or emotional pain, anguish, torment, affliction, distress, or misery. I wonder if we could have a quick look at John chapter 15, verse 20. This, I thought, was a very good, something just very good to look at. John chapter 15, verse 20, Jesus says this statement, and this is the first statement I always think of when I experience suffering. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And we know, now he didn't say, if I suffered, you're going to suffer, but we know persecution and suffering are linked in very closely. So anytime I go through something, I think to myself, first of all, if Jesus suffered, I'll suffer. And it helps me. And it helps me a lot because in our world, I find, not just in the world, but also in different churches, suffering is not a popular thing to talk about. No one stands up at the end of church and goes, hooray, we're suffering. Thank you for the sermon, pastor, or that we're going to suffer for his name. No, instead it's like, if you pray, God will give you the new car. If you pray, you'll get healed. There's all the blessings and providence of God, which is true. And the scriptures talk about that. But the scriptures also talk about suffering. But I don't go, hey, thank you, Lord, I'm going to suffer as well as be healed and be provided for. But it's a truth. And if we don't get the right truth in us, we'll We'll face suffering and we'll fall aside. And I've seen people do that over the years. You may have seen that. People get saved, they come into the faith, trouble comes their way, and they go, this is not what I signed up for. So we must tell them the truth. The truth is, we will suffer. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Okay, so would someone like to read John chapter 15, verse 20? We're going to read to verse 4 of chapter 16.
John 15, verse 20. So I should read through to verse 4,
yep.
Verse 16.
Right. Yep. Natasha, do you want to turn on the hand mic? Oh, is it on? Okay.
No, it's not on.
Yep, now it's on.
Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they will listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. This fulfills what is written in their scriptures. They hated me without cause. But I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth, who will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. I have told you this thing so that you won't abandon your faith. For you will be expelled from the synagogues. And the time is coming when those who kill you will think they are doing a holy service for God. This is because they have never known the Father or me. Yes, I'm telling you these things now, so that when they happen, you will remember my warning.
Thank you.
I didn't tell you earlier because I was going to be with you for a while longer.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor John. That is such a rich passage. It's a beautiful one to sit down. There's so many things in there and so many things that are connected. There's just a couple I drew out. Of course, we said, if they persecuted Jesus, they'll persecute us. Verse 25, I think we've all experienced this. Why are you troubling me? Why are you hating me? What have I done? Jesus said the same thing. They hated him without a cause. They will hate us without a cause. But there is a link. The Holy Spirit's come and testifies about Jesus. The Holy Spirit's in the world, convicting the world of guilt in regard to sin because men don't believe. The Holy Spirit is upon people. So sometimes you're just around people and people are not happy or something's going on. It's because they've got that thing happening the Holy Spirit's doing. So the Holy Spirit's testifying about Jesus, and in verse 27, we are too as well. So there's a relationship here between being hated, suffering persecution, telling people about Jesus. In chapter 16, this is so important, verse 1, Jesus told us this for very specific reasons, so we wouldn't stumble. Now we've already said there are some people come to church, these things happen, they get saved, then persecution comes, and they say, oh no, I didn't realize this was going to be the deal. Jesus says, I'm warning you this will happen. We, as our discipleship, must warn people. I would like to get to an attitude like the disciples have, where they rejoice and count it worthy. We've suffered. We've received stripes for his name. Instead, I'd be on the phone, Pastor John, something terrible happened today. I got beaten up because I, you know. That's what I would do. I want to change that and learn to be more like them. So I am coming around. In verse 2 of chapter 16, you'll be made outcasts. And people will do bad things to you and think they're doing a good service to God. Now, that can even transpose into today's culture. Oh, you guys are being too legalistic. You're saying that what Jesus said we have to do. No, listen. And so, you will all experience these different things. I know many people here have. And again, and I think this is always important, when Jesus says something and then reaffirms it, we really have to take note of it. In verse 4, These things I've spoken to you, so when the hour comes, you'll remember that I told you. So we're not surprised, all right? And we don't shrink back, we don't stumble. So it's very important. Okay, Mark 10, 29 to 30. Sorry, did I get the right one? Yep. We can have a look at that passage. Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, there's no one who has left houses or brothers or sisters, fathers or mother, wife, children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life." There is a presentation that often goes on, which is by faith, all things are possible. So you're in a situation and God delivers you. And you try to think, but Lord, how does this work? Because I also read, I'm going to suffer. Well, the two are hand in hand. It's not one or the other. It's railroad tracks. They are parallel. It's just the way it is. God will bless us in every way. He will bless us. That blessing is like there's going to be a parallel in life. It's persecution. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. If we could flick a switch and never suffer, I'm sure we'd all want to flick it. Well, that will happen in the next 100 years sometime. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. Suffering, it's important. I think something I've seen over the years is people have different ideas about where suffering comes from. So it's an important thing to ask yourself a question. Do you believe God is persecuting you? Now, you don't have to answer that now, but I know I've come across people over the years and they have a certain view of God that's quite different to mine. And so they believe their life is experiencing all these things because God is doing it to them. Now, it's a conversation for more than we have time today, but there are different things that happen in life. Different things come from different avenues, I believe. One place suffering comes from, it says in 1 Peter 3:17, it's better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. There's two types of suffering there. First one is you do the right thing, you suffer. Second one, you do the wrong thing, you suffer. So there's going to be suffering, but we suffer for the first, not for the second. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. That's just something I've got to get over because I'm so used to wanting, you know, none of us have got old wooden chairs with splinters in it at home when we sit down and watch a two-hour movie. Well, we get on a nice comfy chair, and if the spring goes, we buy a new one. Why? Because the world and so much we've grown up with says you can be comfortable. Are you cold? Buy a heater. Are you hot? Get an air conditioner. Is your TV too small? You can have a big one. It's like, what do you want? Do you want nice food? It's all here. Comfort, 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 comfort. The gospel says, yes, all of that. In this life, but with other things, in the life to come is where the payoff is. In this life, there's going to be the mixture. So for us, particularly in a lot of the Western cultures, we have to train ourselves away from the comfort mentality. In James chapter 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, if you've got a different translation, instead of patience, does anyone say a different word? That's it. The testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, patience and endurance and perseverance are very similar family of words, and often, especially patience and endurance, are interchangeable. If a bus is delayed in coming, and someone's very frustrated, come on, where's this thing? Come on, come on, and rings a taxi, he's gone. He hasn't patiently waited. Someone who sits there patiently, but you could also say he's endured to the goal. The goal was the bus came, and he didn't have to pay $20 to get to work. He paid $2. Hebrews 10 Verse 32 to 36. Remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. Sufferings have to be endured. We can't compromise. It's what the goal of the world and the enemy is. Bring suffering your way. Are you really going to tell me Jesus is Lord? I'm going to mock you at work and I'm going to make fun of you every time I see you and call you Bible boy and all these types of things. And if you've worked at a place, some people, I know one person, not here at the moment, but he was saying that something's gone on for him. So you're going to suffer, but you endure. We have to endure. So partly being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers of those who were so treated. for you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. So this is how they suffered, one way, materially. They lost things, which doesn't happen so much here, but it certainly does happen. Knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Verse 36, very important. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. We endure to the end and receive. It's very important. And we encourage one another in that. Romans chapter 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Again, there is a mindset that is different here to what's in me. Tribulation comes. Oh, honey, could you pray? This is going on. You know, talk to Pastor John. This is going on. I'm not necessarily glorying in it. I don't want it. I don't think anyone does. These people had a different attitude. Paul had a different attitude. And I have to get my mind in line with this mind. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Again, it's that word that's perseverance, patience, endurance. And perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It's very important we understand biblical hope compared to worldly hope. Biblical hope is a positive future expectation. Okay, it's something you're sure is going to happen. Okay, just like it's 20 past 10, we are sure that 10:30 is going to come as best as we can. We know that. It's the same way these guys had a hope. The hope is in Christ. The hope is in Jesus' return. The hope is in the future we have in heaven, eternal life. And there's some things I think of when I go through suffering. I find these things very helpful. Can you imagine the grass of heaven under your feet? Sometimes everything's breaking down and everything's going wrong. And I just wonder, you know, like your feet just with no shoes and you go outside, you feel grass. People say, how do you know there's grass in heaven? Well, you don't for certain. But some people say, look at the earth. It's kind of an indication of what God likes. He likes these pretty flowers and trees. Okay, so it's not unreasonable to think heaven will have aspects of that. And there are some scriptures which do talk about that. But anyway, it's whether or not you agree or disagree, it's not a big thing. The point is, can you imagine somehow being in heaven? And then the other one is, can you imagine seeing him face to face? Last week we heard a song. And just beautiful song, touches me. I can only imagine what it will be like. And she says, will I sing hallelujah, or will I be able to speak at all? Like when you see Jesus face to face, will you go, praise the Lord? Or will you go, you know, will you fall to your knees? You know, will you dance? You know, what's it going to be like? And that's it. So we have this hope. And every single one of us, like we talk about this, don't your faces light up when you think of that? Lord, one day face to face. That's a hope we have. In the midst of the trials, the persecution, the suffering, that's what we hold on to. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And again, run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So important to look at Jesus as our example. And we consider what Jesus went through. And we remember what he said. If they persecuted him, they'll persecute us. Lord, what did you go through? You suffered. People made fun of you. Close people to you abandoned you. They rebelled against you. They disowned you. They betrayed you. Is our life any different? No. And the things we've gone through, Jesus has gone through. But Jesus has gone through much more. There are some scriptures here. I really think this is a good thing to take away and meditate on as well. I want to go through these first three just to mention them. We know Jesus suffered death. And it's so important we read that line, he suffered death. Jesus didn't die peacefully in his sleep. He suffered death. Scripture we looked at last week, Jesus said it was necessary for the Christ to suffer. Jesus suffered temptation. But he didn't sin. But Jesus suffered temptation. He knows what that what it's like to be presented with this easy way. Bow down before me. I'll give you all these kingdoms. Don't go to the. He didn't know about the cross, but you don't. But Jesus is thinking, I don't go to the cross and I get all the kingdoms. And there's just Satan now up here in this position of authority. An easy way out. But no, obedience to the Father is the only way. Number three, Jesus suffered humiliation and insults, even though he committed no sin. It's so good as well to look and think, Because we've all felt the injustice of a false accusation from a friend, someone in authority. It's no different from Jesus. So we look at these things and we say, this is not strange. And in fact, this might not even be this person setting this up. It's maybe the principalities and power at work behind this, because really I'm not wrestling all the time against flesh and blood, am I? There's spirits at work, especially against the sons and daughters of God. Number four is Jesus endured the cross, despising its shame. Now, this is a really... I just want to develop this just a little bit, because this is just... this is incredible. Galatians 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. We hear these words, blessing and curse, and I know we know what they mean. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. If you took verse 14 at home and just meditated on part A and part B of that, you would have the most blessed week, because that's just amazing. What Jesus did has brought the blessing of Abraham upon you. You have a read. What is that? Wow. Okay. That we received the promise of the Spirit. This same promise that when, you know, when the two boys went in and played in the Holy of Holies, they fell down dead in the holy presence of God. You know, only the high priest could go in there. And God says, one day I'm going to pour out my Spirit and give it to everyone. What? How are you going to do that, Lord? That's your holy presence. Today we're just born, praise the Lord, we received the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. It's amazing and wonderful. But the main part out of this scripture I want to identify is Jesus becoming the curse. The greatest curse, what was it? Genesis chapter 3, also verse 13 and 14. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you've done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So God said to the serpent, because you've done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you'll go all the days of your life. So we know the serpent was cursed more than anything else. Now, in Numbers chapter 21, this is a nice story to read. The children of Israel are rebelling. One of the times they're out in the wilderness. Why have you brought us out here? All this stuff's going bad and going wrong. And because they rebelled against God's direction, how he was leading them, it says that serpents came in and started to bite them, and they died. You remember the story? Okay, it's in Numbers 21, you can read it. But just to catch the end of the story, in verse 8 and 9, then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and so it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, will live. This is this cursed serpent that's going around killing. Put it on a pole, everyone who looks at it will live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Then you come to John chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. And Jesus makes this statement. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And you look at that parallel, the most cursed thing is what Jesus became. When Jesus was on the cross, that's what he became. And in the same way, the children of Israel looked at the serpent on the pole and got healed, we look at Jesus on the cross, who became the curse. Cursed. He became a curse for us in Galatians 3. We look at him on the cross and we live. Praise the Lord. And that's why the healing and the living, it's all part of it. It's just beautiful. In Philippians chapter 2, Jesus humbled himself. He didn't consider it robbery being equal with God, that he lowered himself and became like a serpent, like a servant. Philippians chapter 2. He also suffered denial by close associates, which we mentioned before. These are ones that we won't go through now, but I encourage you to go through it, because we look at the examples of people who have walked this journey of faith before us and see we're not going through this as a first person. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, we know the story that happened with them. Lo, behold, I see a fourth man in the fiery furnace. But they didn't know that beforehand. Into the flames they went, but they weren't going to compromise. Daniel, thrown into the lion's den. What happened to Daniel? He survived. Job suffered terrible loss and intense pain from the devil, but he maintained his integrity with God at the end, restored everything. Joseph was imprisoned. Joseph, come to bed, Potiphar's wife said. No. So then what happened? He's in prison. She should have been in trouble, not him. He ends up. Did he do the right thing? Yes. But he suffered. The apostles are in prison. We know so much about that. Moses. Any sort of leadership that any of us have had, in any capacity know what it's like to have people grumble, complain, and sometimes, Lord, is the ground going to open? No, you have a soft heart and just forgive them. I'll take care of them. And anyway, suffering happens. So I think it's very important to know the source of suffering and how to respond. James chapter 4, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war within your members? Do you know, sometimes you can have a real struggle that's going on, but I want this, no, I want this, and you'll go, and then you lose it, and you feel suffering. Okay, is that God? Is that the devil? Do you know, it could be your flesh. It could be your own flesh just desiring it. And again, Romans 7 talks about this. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my body. Paul goes on to say, wretched man am I, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Christ Jesus. So it's not like, well, sin's in me, so there it goes, we just follow it. No, Jesus will deliver us from that because we crucify our flesh. But there's a fight that goes on. I think we've all suffered. Oh, I have to do this thing. It's the right thing to do. Yeah. You know, and there's a period of suffering, if you want to call it, we go through doing that. So the key in Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing the mind. Then we will see God's good, perfect, acceptable will come to pass. So there is suffering that happens inside us as we grow, and that's kind of natural for any sort of form of growth, isn't it? You know, naturally in the body, in the world, there is something that we might label suffering, growth pains, whatever you want to call it. That's one way we suffer. That's an okay form of suffering. Some people, like my background I've come from, I've had to suffer through things because I had mindsets that said all these things were okay. And meeting Elgin didn't have to suffer through those things. And that's good. But, you know, so just depending upon where we are when we come to the Lord and we begin to grow and change, we will have different things. In Job chapter 1 verse 8, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Very interesting with Job. Whatever your view, people have very strong views on where the suffering Job experienced came from. Job makes a very interesting statement. He says, the thing I feared came upon me. The thing I feared came upon me. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. Fear is not to be a door we open in our life. Fear opposes faith. We have faith, we trust in God. We believe a certain outcome and eventuality will happen. Whatever the view is, Satan wants to take opportunity to bring about destruction. We know that that's what will happen. I often like the picture of like God with an umbrella in the rain. And God says, obey me, do all that I say, have your right mind, right heart. And it's like you do that, you're drawing near to God and you're under the umbrella. But then someone wants to go out and they want to live a different sort of life and they stay over here and it's over there near God, it's dry under the umbrella. Out here, they're getting wet, getting soaked. They stay in the rain for long enough, what happens? They get a cold, they get shivers. They stay out there, keeping not repenting and coming back to God. It goes all the way to pneumonia and all the way to death. And God's saying, it's nice over here, come. So that's what people need to do. 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. It's important to know the devil isn't a lion. All right, we only have one lion of the tribe of Judah. The devil is not a lion, but he goes about imitating one. Seeking whom he can devour, but resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Verse 9, I find another great comfort in time of suffering. I'm not the only one going through this. And it's very nice to meet up with people who have had a similar journey. I know early on when I met and we were spending time with Pastor John and Esther, and we just talked about different things we've gone through. And in ministry and that, we're like, oh, praise the Lord. Okay, so we're not the only ones. And it made me feel better because it's verse 9 exactly, knowing the same experiences of suffering are happening. It's the same happening out there. Ephesians chapter 6, we spoke about this earlier. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers, darkness of this age. Where's the fight coming from? You see this flesh in front of you? Lord, what's happening here? Is there a spirit behind here? Can you see how this is a different form of suffering to what we looked at on the previous page? So we have to discern, where's it coming from? And of course this one, Deuteronomy 30, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. He is our life and the length of our days. And that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. We have to live in obedience to God, and we're blessed. If we don't, we get cursed. And if you go through the curses that come upon us, it's bad stuff. So today, if I'm going through suffering, where's it coming from? Is it coming from I'm growing in the ways of God and I'm renewing my mind and having to let go and crucify my flesh? Is the enemy bringing attack against me? Have I, and the third one is similar to the first one, have I made decisions that are actually walking in disobedience to God? Because if I do, it's getting out from under that umbrella. I mean, I don't know why I chuckle, but I look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's just it. I want to live godly, I know you do. So what's going to happen? Well, we are going to suffer. But we have an incredible life, don't we? I mean, if we lived our whole days in suffering, but get to talk to God, and God talks to us, how can that compare to anything else? And we have some people that have been going through some situations recently, and it's just them. I mean, God can be doing things that they're not aware of, but they're not in a relationship with God where they're able to say, Father, help me. Father, lead me. Father, guide me. What an incredible privilege we have that we can do that. So many stories in the Bible show us God's people suffered for doing the right thing. Stories don't end there. Even if in the Bible they died, there's the hope of heaven. For us, whatever it is that we go through and whatever suffering comes our way, it's important that we stand in it, because so many of the stories you go through in the Bible, you see after Joseph suffered, he was promoted. You look at Daniel. You look at all these different stories. You could go through so many stories and you see what happened after they endured. They received the promise in this life and in the life to come. Praise the Lord. Any thoughts? Questions, comments? Yes? Hallelujah. Yes. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? I felt the Lord put on my heart about maybe a month and a bit ago, just about the church here and about the people. There was a time in the Old Testament where they said, is there a prophet in the land? Is there a man of God? You know, where they called out, is there people of God? And they went and found them. And they went to them to find wisdom and to get healed and miracles. And I really felt, just God put on my heart, that is happening here. Not here alone, but that is happening in this place. This is a place that stands out. People are drawn, just like you said. People are drawn, not because we look the same. And the fight to fit in with the world knows what's there because it's all around them. But the world notices when you're different, when we're different. And the day will come where our families will say, I need to talk to you about something. All right. Praise the Lord. My mum came to church last week. Wonderful. So a time will come. So we keep enduring, keep persisting, keep being different. And it is part of our own sanctification and purification. But not just for us. It's a witness to others. And it's important for others as well. So praise the Lord. Yes.
Can I just make one very practical point, you know, which is, I think it's one area that we tend to struggle with when it comes to persecution or suffering. And that is, in our walk with the Lord, I mean, as we have heard, I mean, thank God for the way you presented it. I just, you know, it's, anyway, I will say some other things later, but it's, thank God for that. I mean, just before you came in, when I took the memory verse, said similar things, you know, it just shows that the Spirit of God is one. Now, for very practical purpose, we get disillusioned, we get discouraged, because we have a misperception oftentimes that if we are a Christian and we want to be like Jesus, that everybody will be our friend. And that is not true. It is not true. The Bible says, be at peace with all men as much as it is within your power. Be at peace with all men as much as it's within your power. You know, haven't done all that you need to do. From your understanding of what God wants you to do, be at peace. But sometimes it will happen that for doing the right thing, some people cannot be at peace with you. We must not, I mean, as Christians, we don't go out of our way to look for trouble. We don't go out of our way to make enemy of somebody. But when something conflicts with our belief or what the Bible tells us, and we stand our ground and we suffer persecution, then we need to continue to stand our ground. And the truth about it is this: when we are suffering, it can be very lonely. Honestly, you don't know who is for you, who is against you. You don't know who agrees with you or who doesn't agree with you. It can be very, very lonely. It's not very easy. When people talk, when they whisper, you wonder whether that is the issue that is being discussed. You wonder how they perceive your family. And I'm telling you, the persecution may not be just you alone. Your children will pass by, and some people will say, you know, they'll point at them. They will say things to them. And I'm telling you, these things happen. So, if we are going to serve God, we are not going out there to make enemies with people. But the truth about it is that it can be quite daunting.
Yes.
It can be very daunting. It's not just, I mean, when you talk about taking possession there, that take your possession, even though people may not physically come and take your possession, your business can be ruined. You can be defamed. People can say things about you that you don't even know or you are not aware of that make people to avoid you, that will make people not do things for you when you are supposed to get help. So in a way, your possession is being taken.
Yes.
So it's something that, but we need to get the correct perspective on it. Having searched ourselves to make sure that we are standing right with God. And then, you know, take it with faith and pray. And that is the time we need children of God. We need other children of God who have a correct understanding of what Christian suffering is.
Very good. Thank you, Pastor John. Is there anyone else? All right, we must finish up. I had one thought as well, which is kind of covered in there. Sometimes leadership causes us to suffer. Now, that can be good and bad. If Pastor John talks to me and says, but don't you understand tithing is 10%, not 5? Ah, Pastor John, I want that other 5 for something else. I'm getting this or that or the other. And he shows me the word. Pastor John becomes an agent, if you like, of bringing the word into my life. So the suffering comes into that first part I looked at. As I renew my mind, I suffer. And it's important, whenever these things go on, that we go away and say, okay, Lord, what is your word here? Because that's the job and responsibility of all of us in leadership to any capacity with our children, with our as pastors, home group leaders, whatever it might be. We're to pass these things on. So we can't look at the person and go, oh, you're causing me to suffer, this is bad. We must identify the source of the suffering and say, no, it's not the leader, it's the word of God. So now let me take the right view on this. If the word of God is causing me to suffer, I better change around real quick and say submission. So do you know what I mean? So that's the difference between rebellion, that's the difference between, you know, doing the right thing and being the people God's called us to be. Heavenly Father, Lord, we look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, Lord. Joy set before him, endured the cross and didn't despise the shame. Father, we look to Jesus, our example, and we say, help us to live the same path, to have our same mindset on you, Father, to say, not our will, but your will be done. An easier solution is presented, Lord. Help us that we will not take it, but we will live a life of obedience to you. Lord, we know we have need of endurance. Endurance is not a spiritual gift. It is an action, a decision, an activity that we do. So help us, Father, give us courage that we will make the right decision and that we will endure persecution. We understand suffering will come. Lord, help us to encourage and comfort and strengthen one another. And Lord, where we've gone through things, help us to testify, to bring glory to your name of how you've brought us through. But Lord, we say we will not compromise, we will not give up, we will not turn away. We will lay a hold of those things which you've called us for, Father, and we will receive the reward as you bless us, help us and guide us, and we continue in those things you've told us to, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.